Amen. Don't sit down yet. Every time I'm up here, you guys should know by now. Everybody stand up and look to the person on your left. Pastor Tim, if you don't have a person on your left, no. Say, Happy Sabbath. Now turn to the person on your right and say, Happy Sabbath. All right, y'all can sit down now. It is a wonderful and happy Sabbath, is it not? Amen. Amen? A happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters of the church. En paz de vos, hermanos y hermanas. I have to practice my Spanish now. So today I want to talk a little bit about the difference between judgment and discernment. Now, as Christians, I feel like this is a very important aspect that we have to get nailed in our lives. So hopefully today we can find out which one is better and which one we should do and how we should do it. So let's just jump right in. Discernment. What is it? Well, Webster's dictionary says it's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. So I kind of put like a little bit of a Christian, if you will, version of it. So I say, discernment can describe the process of determining God's desire in a situation or for one's life or identifying the true nature of a thing, such as discerning whether a thing is good, evil, or may even transcend the limiting notion of duality. So discernment is I would say it's in a positive tone. So it is stepping back, saying, okay, this situation right here, this is not something that I want to be a part of. These guys, say if it's like someone, it's a group of friends you're trying to get into, right? They're cool, right? They're the cool kids, but they're doing some things that you don't really agree with and you shouldn't, that doesn't match up with your godly perspective of life. So discernment is looking at that situation and not judging, which we'll talk about later. It is discerning whether it is something that you should be a part of or not. So let's go to the word. Oh, first, some synonyms of discernment, I would say, are insight, perception, and wisdom. Who is the wisest man in the Bible? It's Jesus. But Solomon was also pretty wise, too. So let's go to the word. I'm going to go to Romans 16, verses 17 through 19. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who can cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. So let's break it down a little bit. Let's go to verse 17. Let's just read it again. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. So it's touching on that discernment that we're talking about. We're standing back. There's a situation. We're standing back and we're saying, now, let's take all the things that I've learned in all the Sabbath school classes and all the sermons that I've definitely listened to and not fallen asleep for. Let's take all that I have learned, what I know to be true, what I know is right, what we read every single day, or it's there. Whether you like it or not, you've glanced at it, you've seen it. We know what's right. Does this situation match up with my beliefs? Is it going to hinder me in my walk? Because what should we be doing every single day? Growing in the what God wants us to be, right? Getting closer to the Jesus. We can't be Jesus. He was perfect. But that doesn't mean that we can't strive to be him, right? This is what you do when you agree. Yes. So we have to look at these situations and use our discernment, being able to tell, is this right or is this wrong? Keep an eye on the ones who mean or do not mean to drive you away from what you know is right. It could be somebody that you don't know, that you're just meeting. It could be a close friend. We have to always be asking ourselves, here's an example. When I was little and I was a good child who never did anything wrong, my mother would tell me, now, would you do that if Jesus was sitting right here, right? That's something that we have all heard before. Would you watch this movie if Jesus was sitting right here? Would you listen to this song if Jesus was right here? So that's something that I use and ask myself, is this activity, is this thing that this group or this close friend is asking, telling, or wanting to do something that we would do if Jesus was with us? Because guess what? He always is. If you've been baptized, asked him into your heart, this is where he lives. He's always with you, and he's always watching. And what does he do for us sitting next to the Father? He intercedes for us, right? He talks to the Father. He says, hey, Father, I died for this person. I value their life. What they're doing is wrong, but please, show mercy, show grace. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I would like to make it as easy on Jesus as possible. Make it so that he doesn't have to intercede all the time. Make it an easy case that he has to have for us. So these things can be easy to spot or not easy at all. Now, if your friend says, hey, let's go drinking, let's go get drunk, just slobbering drunk, is that something that you should be doing? This is what you do when you disagree. Okay. So that is easy to spot, right? That's okay. Yeah, I know from the Bible. It says, I don't remember the exact verse, it says, you know, drunkards, not a good thing. Don't do that, right? Okay, got that. No, dude, not going to do that. Some things may not be as easy. They might be, hey, you know, I can't quite think of an example because it's hard. It might be sugar-coated. In our church, we don't do Christmas. Now, whether you believe that we should or shouldn't, that's on you. That's your personal decision. But for me, I don't. So, therefore, it might be sugar-coated with, yes, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, but for me, I don't believe that, so I'm not going to participate. And when I was little, it was hard because all my friends were getting all these gifts, right? It was cool. Like, oh man, I got a PlayStation 1. Yeah, I'm that old. I got a PlayStation 1. I was like, oh, cool. You know, good for you, man. I'm going to wait for my birthday for my present. But some things are just, you have to really keep a keen eye. And I can't stress this enough, you can't have great discernment without the help of Jesus Christ. You have to ask him to help you. You can't do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own, you're gonna fail. Because guess what, guys? As humans, we stink at doing things on our own. We stink. We need Jesus' help all the time. Let's go to verse 18. Give that a quick read again. Thank you for whoever made this church's internet better. This would have been a lot longer sermon. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Okay, so they were slaves to their own worldly desires. So this is when you ask, if you're looking at another person and say, what do they value more when you're trying to hang out with them? Now, this is where you got to be careful. This is where the judgment can come in. We are going to talk about that later and define it. But this is where you have to be careful. You have to discern. You have to be looking at it from your Christian walk. You're not saying, okay, Bob here, he's going to, what you're doing is not right. You're gonna go to hell, man. That's judgment. You have to look at it from your own walk. If I'm going to hang out with Bob and do this wrong thing, is it going to help my walk? Maybe, maybe not. That's what you have to discern, whether it's good or bad. You have to look at their own worldly desires. Let's go to 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Loading. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not with him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. I don't know about y'all. I think I know. But I'm not sure because, hey, you got your own opinions. But I think I want to live forever. Yeah? Amen? Do we want to live forever with Jesus Christ in the kingdom? Yeah? A little bit more excitement, church. Come on. This is eternal life we're talking about. Let's go. We can't get caught up in the lust of the flesh. That, according to that Bible verse, says that leads to death. It's going to pass away. Along with the earth. It's not good. You're just going to, and then you're no more. So we have to look at that when we're discerning. Does this focus on the lusts of the flesh? Does this put priority over the worldly things over God? So let's go back to our Romans 16. Let's go to verse 19. Romans 16, 19. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you. Is this the right verse? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want to be wise in what is good and innocent, and be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. So you need to be, what does it say? Be versed in what is good. Don't just read your Bible and say, hey, I read the whole Bible. Did you learn anything from it? No, but it's a good read. Study the Bible. Do what I had to kind of do with these verses. Read a passage. Look deeper into the passage. Find other verses that match up with that passage. Learn what he's trying to tell you. Is it metaphoric? Is it literal? It's very important to get versed in what is good. And this book is good. It is God's instruction manual to our lives. So be extremely versed in it. Know what he wants you to do for your life. And then obviously at the end it says, be innocent in what is evil. So that goes back to the lusts of the flesh, right? Shouldn't be doing them. Should be innocent in them. Meaning we shouldn't even know like a lot of what's going on. What we want with the lusts of the flesh. Don't be doing them. Don't do it. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Just going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 12. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immortality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this You know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. That verse was pretty heavy. So let's break it down. Verse 1 through 2, be imitators of God. When you were little, some of you are little, some of you are not. When you were little, did you ever see something that your mom or your dad was doing and you wanted to imitate it? Yeah? I know some of the teenagers are going, nah, my parents are dumb. I know more. You don't, number one. Number two, you did when you were little. So, like, for example, when I was little, I saw my dad every Sabbath wear a pair of cowboy boots and Wranglers. Just an example. So let's break down verses 3 through 5. Let's just give them a quick read again. But immortality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints. When people talk about you, when people are judging you, because that is of the world, and what do we want to be? The light of the world, right? We have to go out into it. So people are going to judge you. But what are they seeing? Are they seeing immorality or impurity or greed? Because according to this verse, that should not even be named among you. It shouldn't say, hey, that guy, boom. He says he's a Christian, but everything I know about Christians, he does not sound like a Christian. When somebody looks at you, they should say, why is he happy all the time? Why does she seem so joyful all the time? What do they have? We should make people who are in darkness, because we are the light, right? People who are in darkness long for what we got. Everybody is searching for something deep in their heart. That's why you see all these different religions pop up. That's why you see the rejection of God in the theory of evolution. They're all searching for something. Make them long for Christ. He's what they need. Make our example, discern what in your life, what you need to do to make yourself an example of God in your life. For that is proper among saints. And then verse 4 goes into giving some examples of simple everyday things that you can just take out of your life. And it'll make your whole attitude, your whole appearance seem more like the light of Jesus. Filthiness and silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Something that I've tried to practice in my everyday life now is just giving thanks for little stuff. For work, most of the time I drive an F-350 with a 20-ish foot flatbed trailer. Turning left into traffic is hard sometimes, especially when you're driving in Portland. So when I pull up to the stop and I look and there's no cars on a street that I know is busy, that's a simple moment that you can give God the grace or give God thanks for. It just makes my day go by easier. It's a little gift from God. You find $5 in your pocket. I don't know if y'all have done that. I've done that. Just been like, okay, done the whole, okay, wallet, keys, phone, what's that? $5, let's go. That is the time to say, hey, thanks, God. That's a little pick-me-up I needed. Okay. Let's look at Galatians 5, 13 through 26. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then we all know the verse that comes next. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I almost sang the song there. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful and challenging one another, envying one another. So that verse right there gives us some examples of things that we need to discern, right? Some examples to make our discernment easier. We can go to this passage and say, okay, these are the things that I should not be doing, that I should not be around. These are the things that I should be doing, and these are the things that I should instill in my group of friends. Gives a clear picture. So let's go back to our Ephesians 5, 1 through 12. And let's look at verses 6 through 12. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light of the but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Using that Galatians passage, we can walk as children in the light. If you just, it's not that hard. It's difficult to take down the desires of the flesh because we are human and we are born into sin, and that's just something that we have to conquer. But who do we ask for help to conquer it? What? Jesus. Exactly. If we do not have Jesus' help, we are going to be stuck in that earlier part of that Galatians passage. We're going to be stuck in all those things. We might conquer them for like a week, a month, but then they're going to come right back in our life because we don't have the protective shield that Jesus gives us. That little voice in our head saying, hey, let's do it this way. Let's go this way. Let's live like children in the light. So if you are saved and born again, you are a child in the light. In the light with a capital L, which means a child in Jesus. A child of God, grafted into the family of God. To live like one, we need to discern that word. That word again, discernment. We need to discern, based in this Galatians passage especially, what we can keep doing, focus on, and what we should not do, what we should not be around. Let's go to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So this one adds a little bit of a different aspect at the end. It goes through the things. It says, be firm in what you believe, in your belief, what Jesus says to do. Know what you believe. Be firm in it. Be confident. Be able to say, yeah, I know that for sure. I know that for sure. Just like if you just Wikipedia'd something. Yeah, I know that for sure. Look out for what you know to be wrong in how people hold themselves. That's what we're talking about, the discernment. We're not trying to judge and say, this person's good or bad. We're saying, does hanging out with this person further my walk with Jesus or hold it back? So we got that little bit of a different aspect at the end. It says they take joy in disobedience. So you have to really watch out for those people. Those people are out there just to make Christians' lives miserable. We don't want to be hanging out with those people, do we? We are the family of God, amen? Do we want to be hanging out with the people of the world, fraternizing with them, and then pretty soon taking on some of their attributes, some of their habits? What do we want to do instead? Be a shining light to them. Show them the better way to live, right? So this, at the end of this passage, it says they see God's will as a source of gain. So we want to actually take a look inside ourselves at the end of this passage and say, am I a Christian just because I want to, or because I feel like I'm going to get blessings and it's going to be like great, like if I do a little bit of tithe here, then maybe like $2,000 will just magically appear in my bank account? Do we expect blessings? Do we do it because of that reason, because of gain? Or do we do it because we want to? Do we do it because we know God made all of us, and as his creation, we should be servants to him? So now let's take a look at judgment. The Webster says it's the process of forming an opinion or an evaluation. So to try to figure out how that fits into what I'm talking about, let's go to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Now when you turn to that in your Bibles, if you have the right kind of Bible, or maybe not, if you look it up in your phones, what color are the words? Red. We're reading the red. My Uncle Nelson used to talk about reading the red. It's very important. Read the red is what he would tell his friends who are unbelievers. This is the words of Jesus, so you got to pay attention. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So what does this say? Before you make a judgment about your brother, before you say, hey, you're doing this little thing wrong, what do you got to do? You have to look at yourself. So if he's got a little bit of a splinter in his eye, but you got like a big dug fur sticking out of your own eye, then what gives you the right to even point the speck out in your brother's eye? Clean up your own act first. Don't judge your brother before you have discerned what you need to do in your own life. I think that's the distinction we're trying to make here, is saying discernment is for you. Judging is just looking at other people. Doesn't relate to me. I'm pretty good. Pastor Tim, he's crazy. No, he's not. Maybe I'll tell you some Springville stories sometime. No? Okay. But what does Jesus say right off the bat? Judgment, bad. So what do we need to stay away from? Judging. It's hard. I've caught myself judging. It happens. We're human. We need to just be able to say, okay, I need to not do that. That's part of that discernment. You start judging somebody, you say, oh, wait. You take a step back. Start discerning. Was that good? No, it wasn't. I was judging him. Shouldn't do that. Doesn't matter what it is. If you're looking at a person going, not good. And Jesus says so right out in the first verse 1. Verse 2, God's judgment is the only judgment that should be happening, and it is final. If we're making judgments, then what are we trying to do? God's job. Can we do God's job? No. Don't try to do God's job. If I have one piece of advice for any of y'all, any of the youths, don't try to do God's job. You can't. If you try, you're not only going to fail, you'll probably get punishment from on high. So always be taking that step back and go, okay, I'm trying to do God's job. Don't be doing that. And the verses 3-5, basically, with talking about the speck in your own eye, is what we touched upon. Make sure that you got yourself straight first. Look inside yourself. Make sure that you're being the best example for Christ that you can be. Make those discernments from the Galatians passage in your life that say, okay, I can do this. Don't do this. The Bible is basically one big instruction manual on how to live. A few stories. True stories. If we read it and study it, following him will come naturally because we want to. We know exactly what he wants us to do. We know that we love the Lord Jesus. So therefore, we can do those things if we read his instruction manual and follow it. Let's go to James 4. We're going to go to verse 11 and just read 11 and 12. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge in capital letters. Lawgiver and judge, the one in capital letter, who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judge your neighbor? So what does that verse 11 touch on? Touches on one poison in our world today. One giant poison. Gossip. Gossip can bring up and destroy friendships in an instant. It can bring up or it can destroy churches in an instant. In an instant. You start getting these little clicks. You start talking about the other clicks. You start talking about other families. You start talking about this. Instead of bringing it to your brother and talking about it face to face, you start talking behind their back. And then pretty soon, your church is ripped apart. You got 90% of the pews empty. You have to sell the building. You have to move out. It's happened. I can't give an exact example. I know a few. I was in Texas, and I know a few this last week. Some of the stories I heard, and it's not good. Gossip destroys. It is judgment behind someone's back. It's bad enough to say to someone's face, hey, you're bad, without looking at yourself first. It is even worse to go, hey, you hear about, yeah, they're awful. Did you hear what they did? I know you're getting nervous because I'm looking right at you, right? Yeah. That's even worse. In verse 12, it tells us, God is the one who judges. His judgment is final. I touched on that earlier. Let's go to Proverbs 10:18. Throw some Old Testament in there. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. That's pretty blunt, right? If you gossip behind somebody's back, you're a fool. That's what it says. That's what the word says. Now, I don't want the Bible calling me a fool. I don't know about y'all. So we need to be careful not to be doing that. Okay? In the first part of that verse, it talks a little bit about concealing his hatred. If you've got a problem with a brother or a sister, bring it to them. Not in a judgmental tone, but in a caring tone. If you've got a problem, bring it up. Talk to them about it. Pray with them. Maybe they'll see it from your point of view. They might get mad at you, but bring it to them. Don't talk behind their back. Judgment has a negative connotation. Discernment has a positive connotation. That's what we're talking about. We need to discern, not judge. Judging looks at another person's faults through a high horse. You ever heard that saying, sitting on a high horse? This is my horse. You there, you're quite below me. I'm quite much better than you. Yeah. That's judgment right there, sitting on your high horse. And as Christians, we have a different version, right? We can say something like, and this could be gossip too, if we're telling another person behind their back, he or she ain't going to the kingdom because of the way he or she acts. It's a simple statement. It can take many different forms. But that's what we do. That's judgment. Well, I won't see them in the kingdom. I'll be in the kingdom because I'm good. But they won't be in the kingdom because, well, that one thing that they did or that thing that they're doing. Yeah. We don't want to take that. Go to your brother or sister. If they're doing a wrong thing, talk to them about it. So, when we're going out into the world, we talk about a little bit of hanging out in groups, right? Groups of friends that we can hang out with. When you're going out into the world, I encourage you guys to not judge who you're talking to. You're not fraternizing with them. You're not hanging out with them. You're trying to spread them the gospel message. Right? So who does that include? Everyone. In Matthew 25, we're going to go all the way to the end. We're going to go to verse 45. Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one at least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We're going to look at the first part. You did not do it to the least of these. So what is Jesus trying to tell us? Do it to the very low. Prison ministry is very important. Now, those people are bad, okay? Some people in there have done some crazy, terrible things that we can't even imagine doing. But do they need Jesus? Yes, everyone needs Jesus. We're all sinners. Just because somebody killed somebody and somebody gossiped behind somebody's back does not mean that they are on different planes. They're both sinners. I have sinned in my life. I'm a sinner. The difference is that I'm trying to be better and grow in the Christ Jesus. And I don't want to keep that to myself. Church, do we want to keep that to ourselves? No. No, we don't. We want to spread the good news so that we can fill the kingdom. We want God to be up there making a bunch of mansions for everyone in this world, right? We want to see everybody there. We have to have a heart of servant, and go out into the world and not judge who we're talking to just because maybe they got tattoos all over their face. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus, okay? In conclusion, the magic words. Discernment is practicing good habits and evaluating others' attitudes to know how to better reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Knowing who to hang out with, knowing who not to spend time with. Judging or judgment is seeing others' faults and using it in a negative connotation to bring them down and make oneself feel better or above everyone else. God calls us to be in the world but not of the world. So do not hang out with the wicked. Discern who you can hang out with that will help you in your walk with Jesus. So, for an example, from my week, in choosing my future wife, I had to make sure that she was going to help me in my walk with Jesus. Now, I believe that Alejandra will. So I proposed. Now, and I'm looking at y'all, the youth. This is important. It's coming up. I'm not that much older than you guys. Not that much. So be thinking about that. Be thinking when you're going to choose your partner that you want to be walking in, let it be somebody who you can grow with. We talk about the closer that Ali and I get to each other, the closer to God we get. It's a wonderful thing. When spreading the gospel, I encourage you not to judge those who you'll minister to. The Lord's instruction to us was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, no matter how much they sin, because remember, we are all sinners. No matter what, God loves each and every one of us the same. He sent his one and only son to die for all of our sins. Now, when we read that in the Bible, I think we gloss over it just a little bit. God sent his one and only son. Fathers, imagine sending your firstborn son, if you have one, or your daughter, to go and die for a bunch of people who don't appreciate you, who you've done everything for, who you made. You give them everything. Buildings to worship in, wonderful scenery here, not in Texas. A beautiful world to live in, and they spit in your face. But you're going to send your one and only to go and die for those people to help them spend eternity with you with grace and a gift. So don't gloss over that, okay? So I'm going to show a little video that kind of explains that a little bit. Go ahead. Video people.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I'm going to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I like to play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to rattle the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. You know, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. The funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm going to put games into their life that they think is going to bring them so much pleasure that I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they've promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
How much do you think God and Jesus love us? Quite a bit, huh? More than any of us could love any of each other. His love for us is on a whole different plane. So let's go out and let's serve him. Let's take a look at ourselves and discern what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. Then let's go out into the world and not judge who we talk to. Let's be a light that shines Jesus' love throughout this whole dark world. Amen? You stand, please. Let's pray. Dear, wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day of life. We thank you for all the little blessings that you give us in our life. We ask that you help us in our everyday life to know what you want us to do, how you want us to be. We ask that you bless each and every one of us so that we may be able to be a shining light for you. Please give us that small little voice when we start to judge. Let us bring it back to ourselves and discern in our own lives what's good and bad. Clean up our own act so that we can be a shining light instead of just sitting back and judging. Lord God, we ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.